surnames and initials, gender, office location, all of this information, as it relates to over 10,000 PSNI staff members, from the most junior civilian employees to those at the highest levels, including intelligence gathering, all of this was published online this week in a breach attributed to simple human error. The PSNI Chief Constable Simon Byrne described it as an unconscionable horror for PSNI employees, some of whom had kept their jobs secret from their own families and friends. Particular concerns were raised for Catholic officers who have in the past been the target of Republican paramilitaries. Annie Machon is a former MI5 officer who's now with the World Ethical Data Foundation. Her latest book is called The Privacy Mission, Achieving Ethical Data for Our Lives Online. Annie, you're very welcome to the programme. The PSNI's Chief Constable Simon Byrne went before COBRA to discuss this breach. That's the UK agency charged with dealing with national emergencies. In your opinion, is this a national emergency?
Good afternoon. And yes, I would absolutely concur that it is, because we have a situation in Northern Ireland where the threat assessment has been raised this year of terrorist attacks too severe, which means that terrorism is highly likely in that region. So to have neutered potentially the capability of the entire police force by this breach actually means that it's going to be much more difficult for the security forces to do their job and try and protect people within Northern Ireland. So yes, in terms of a national incident, a national emergency, very much so.
Now, authorities initially tried to downplay the seriousness of the breach. They, for example, emphasised that home addresses had not been released as part of the public of the data published online. But there has also been a data breach concerning the Northern Ireland electoral register. So would it be possible for bad actors to cross-reference information from this PSNI data breach and trace someone's home address, for example?
Potentially, yes, particularly if someone has an unusual surname, as I think has been reported a few have. So they would be very much focused on in terms of, do they need relocating protection? So yes, of course, that is a key problem. But also the very fact that in buildings where they work, or even the departments, have been highlighted, or the fact that they might be working in a secret area, really does put at risk the people who are working most closely with organisations like MI5 trying to counter the terrorist threat in Northern Ireland. So this is a threat to every level of policing, from the community PC upwards, and particularly those from possibly the Catholic community who might face retaliation or who have kept their employment secret. But particularly, I think it was estimated about 560 officers working in the more secretive areas, and particularly supporting MI5, which has the lead for the investigation into Irish terrorism in the province. But also things like, you know, supporting them in raids and surveillance and working undercover and protecting the VIPs. So if these people are identified or can be identified, they are going to be very much targeted by terrorist organisations if this information has fallen into distant hands. So, yeah, I think there's going to be a massive clear-up operation frantically going on behind the scenes at the moment in order to try and ensure that the counter-terrorism capability remains robust in Northern Ireland.
Now, this breach, it didn't come about because of a computer hack or a malware or a virus. It was nothing like that. It appears that it was the result of simple human error. Is there a lack of understanding about just how crucial data security is?
Hugely, yes. And particularly in the public sector, we've seen this time and time and time again across the UK, particularly over the last few years, with things like hacking and data loss going on in organisations like the NHS and government. So this is a problem. And I think there's a sort of failure at senior levels to really get to grips with quite how vital it is to protect and encrypt and air gap sensitive information to ensure that it can't just leak out, particularly as it can impede the work of the organisations that need the security and need the protection of the veil of secrecy to do their job effectively. So yes, I think one, there is a key misunderstanding often and complacency at senior levels. They just think, oh, it's tech stuff, let's leave it to the IT section. And they don't necessarily drill down into what are the key threats at the moment and how do we best protect our organisation. It also appears as well from more recent reporting that this wasn't just one person who is relatively junior releasing this information, but that apparently it went up the management chain and was signed off by various other people. Now, this is of huge concern because it shows an endemic systemic failure throughout the police and also shows a degree of complacency, which is very worrying when it comes to highly sensitive information like officer identities. So this is something that needs to be addressed. I would probably speculate that the oversight of this sort of process with various people signing it off is very much just a tick box exercise. It's not really effective. So people see, you know, someone else has signed this off, so I'm just going to sign it off too, without actually looking at the ramifications of what they're doing. So people do need to get to grips with sensitive data and how best to protect it, rather than over-reliance on American corporate consultancies largely that sell them these systems and then don't really take seriously the data that needs protecting.
Now, separately to the breach, there was a laptop and a radio which was stolen last month. It wasn't reported for 3 weeks. The Chief Constable, Byrne, said that no, they had the means of wiping devices remotely and the laptop was password protected. Should we be reassured by this?
Not really. Again, I think this comes back to a lack of real understanding about modern threats to modern technology. Certainly, there are capabilities where you can remotely wipe information, one of which is most notoriously called the dead man switch, which means that unless the user of that laptop regularly signs in, say once a day, then the information on that laptop will delete itself. So that's one way of protecting sensitive information. The other would be, of course, that it can remotely be wiped once it's connected to the internet. But if it's fallen into criminal or terrorist hands, they might not connect it to the internet, but they might be able to access even with password protection. I mean, password protection is actually relatively weak. You need a fully encrypted hard disk. You need all the information, sensitive information, individually protected as well within that. So, you know, saying something's password protected is like saying, well, you know, you might be hemorrhaging blood from a sort of a torn femur artery or something, but here's a Band-Aid just to protect you. This is a major problem, and they do need to get to grips with exactly how they access and protect their data.
Okay. Annie Mishon, thank you very much for joining us on the programme. Coming up after the break, the latest from Hawaii, where the scale of destruction caused by wildfires in Maui is drawing into sharper focus.